Back on the Lauren Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ. My name is Tim Durkin with Scott Trudeau in Morrobank, and I know a lot of people east of Belleville certainly would know Morrobank, people in the Quinte region. But the reason we're here today is because a piece of history has been brought back to life by Scott Trudeau and some of his staff. It's a really, really neat piece of history. In Europe, we have history that's thousands of years old. But it's certainly not the case in Canada. Sometimes it's only 100 years old. And the piece of history behind us, the country was only 5 years old when this thing was constructed. Yeah. And so that really does speak to the history of the train that you've pulled out. And I want to go back a little bit for those who are just joining us. Morrobank, of course, the cement factory that was here ended up sending cement around the world. They were able to take cement from this place and take it to Deseronto, to the steam engines, and out across the world. The Quebec City Bridge was constructed with Morrobank cement. The Panama Canal was constructed with Morrobank cement. And it's the unique component of marl, which I have no idea what the hell it is other than it's clay at the bottom of a lake mixed with lime and other components, which made really solid concrete. And the first reason I knew it was super good is when we came here a few weeks ago. My father and I stepped out on a piece that was a slab from over 100 years ago, and it's better than some city streets now.
Well, that what you were standing on there, Tim, was actually the sidewalk that went to the houses over there.
And it would be late 1800s, early 1900s.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe like mid 1800s, because this was operational at that time. So they probably would have built those houses soon to have spots to live, because you know, they would need accommodations here. We're in the middle of nowhere out here.
So what was it that attracted you to this property? You're a guy in construction. You've worked in every small town and big city in the area. But what was it about this particular site? Was it the history that attracted you to wanting to buy this property?
Well, I think I was lucky. I grew up, we have a family cottage on Lion Lake, which is across the road. And I also run a farm, and I was able to purchase one of the old Asseltine farms that the Poiriers had bought, and I was working planting corn or whatever across admiring this property, and I'm thinking, man, it'd be neat to get out there and enjoy this property. But also, that being said, in the back of our mind is always the train, because as kids, you know, you hear about the train. There's a train in the lake, you know, and you come down here in the summer vacation with your parents, whatever, and ride your bikes down here, and all the local kids are trying to show us where the train is and stuff. And is it real or not real? You know, maybe right. You believe it, maybe you don't.
So let's talk about what I always thought was an old wives' tale or the rumor. What was the story that you first heard about a train being in the lake at Dry Lake at the cement factory?
Oh, I don't know. I've heard this my whole life.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Jimmy Dayfull is a good friend of mine in Morrobank and helped me get down in this area. And we jumped in a canoe one day when I actually bought some property on the other side of the lake. Originally, I didn't own the piece that we're on now or the lake, but we had permission to use the lake and come over here. And we canoed over here, and we were on a treasure hunt kind of looking around for the train.
Right. So the idea was that there's a train from the time when this was an operational cement factory in the bottom of the mine, or what is now Dry Lake, but is water in a lake. What was the belief of how it got there? That it derailed, or what were the stories you heard?
Well, I've heard a few different stories. There's a story that, you know, there was labor disputes and stuff, and that they were going too fast, maybe they were working too hard, trying to get more done, the foreman was pushing them. The story I actually believe is the best story, and I think it's the truest story, because I did uncover and I could see how she's positioned, and we can show you a couple of things. But when we uncovered this baby, you know, you could see a lot of history just right there. So the story that I know, and I do believe, is that these guys were getting laid off, and they didn't, the mine boss got word of that because the company has gotten sold, and they think wanted to send a message into the plant. So I think they just let her go and ghostwrited her back to the factory, but she didn't make her.
So this train ends up derailing and going into the lake. So my grandfather, who was born in 1905, and my family's from Reed, and so not terribly far from here, there was the belief that they had told that story too, something similar, that there was a train in the bottom of the lake. And he told that to my father. And I think it was 3 weeks ago you and I first touched base on this whole thing. And I called my old man and I said, "Dad, what do you know about a train in Marlbank?" And exactly you told me, he kind of runs back to me. He said, "Well, that was the story." I said, "You want to go see it?" He said, "Well, I've seen the plants from the road. It's kind of neat." I said, "No, do you want to go see the train?"
He said, "What?" He didn't believe you at all.
Well, so you end up, so you're a construction guy. So your background is, to say somebody's in construction, I mean, that's like saying, you know, somebody works for a city. You know, you could be in 100 different things in construction, but what's your specialty? What do you do for a living?
Well, what we do, a lot of road construction. You know, we change, we do a lot of water main, sewer, rebuild roads. We have sand and gravel. You know, we're kind of a one-stop. We're small. We're a mom-and-pop shop. We're not as big as, you know, the big players in the in our area. But
right.
We do a lot of basically road construction.
Yeah. So the idea is, you have a property that is covered in trees, that is beside a lake, between a road and a lake. What did this property here on Dry Lake in Marlbank look like when you first acquired it? Was it just trees?
I don't think a beagle dog could get through into where we are right now.
Right.
It was pretty thick. It had grown up a lot of years. We'd done some exploring in here, and even in the last couple of years, it's really gotten really thick. So this is quite a change where we are now compared to what it looked like.
And so the property, obviously, since the teens or during World War One, when things changed, there's been a lot of history. There's been a lot of changing here, Scott, of this property. It's going to have changed hands a number of times. But what was the attraction to this spot for you? Was it the train, or was it, you're a businessman and you saw, you know, acquiring land's never a bad idea?
Well, actually, you know, that being said, yes, acquiring land's never a bad idea. I actually bought this for more selfish reasons. I was really drawn to this property personally. My wife and children, we have a cottage over here on this lake, and we love it here.
Yeah.
And so acquiring this property is more of a personal thing. We just love it and like it. And of course, yes, the train was, well, you know, was the train there or not? So it's been a question since I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
I had to know if it was there.
Scott Trudeau joins us here on the Lauren Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ. My name is Tim Durkin, and we're here in Marlbank today, and the discovery of a train that was in the bottom of Dry Lake, which was part of the mine at the Marlbank. I'm not even saying the name of the cement company, because the history, obviously, you know better than I do. But Portland Cement Company ended up acquiring this. But it was a cement factory here that ended up sending cement around the world, including the Panama Canal. And so it was a major operation, a couple hundred employees. So you have a construction company, you have acres and acres and acres and acres of land, and you say, what was the reason for clearing it? Was the train the reason for making at least maneuverable roads, or did, what was the first step in all of this? Because now we're sitting here today with a table, a cafeteria table from the radio station, and a couple of lawn chairs talking.
Well, you know, I'd be lying, Tim, if I said I didn't build this road where we're sitting. We're actually sitting on the original train tracks.
Are we really?
Yeah, that would have been up to the silo.
Oh, so, okay.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't clear this area to get access to locate the train.
So before you did any of the surveying for the roads or bringing in, well, first of all, how much did you bring in? How many truckloads of, is it called aggregate? Do I have the right?
Yeah, aggregate, yeah.
Yeah, how much did you bring in here to make these roads?
I'd rather not say, in case my wife is listening.
Fair enough. There's a zero missing from the bank account. That's fine.
So you have to be careful when we talk. But you know, Tim. But you know, not that she's not supportive. I'm not saying that. But you know,
it. Let's just talk about the sweat equity then. When did your first work on this property begin?
the first work on this side?
Yeah, the road clearing and trying to get access to this spot here on the north side of Dry Lake.
You know, I don't really keep track of time that well, but I would say probably around March 6th, sometime around there. I don't know, maybe the 8th or something. Sometime the first week of March, one of the operators that works for me, Dustin Miller, was finished up a job in the area, and we were able to get his machine over here. So, and I had full intent of making a road to the train, so or trying to at least find that. So I brought him here, and we did some layout and sent him in the direction to get to these train tracks to try and find this thing.
So only 7 or 8 weeks ago, none of this, all of this was covered up.
Oh yeah, you couldn't even get in here.
So what is some of the equipment that goes into to clearing all of this out? What do you either have to rent or buy, or you have acquired? Like, what do you have to do to knock these trees down?
Well, we're fortunate because of the construction company. I guess that's a perk of owning it, because we have a lot of access to a lot of equipment. But we use like a demolition, like grapple buckets and thumbs on excavators, and removed all the vegetation, like the trees and brush and stuff that was in the way, and get access back to these old rail lines and stuff.
Had you found the train before you did any of this work?
Well, I thought I did. I was believed that I did. Jimmy Dayful, a guy from Arrow Bank, and I have looked at it a lot of times, and I was some of the local people. I think the local ones that knew, they knew where it was. We were pretty sure we knew where it was. I wasn't totally sold when all you could see was just that one pipe, and we pumped it out, and there wasn't much there. You know, we were expecting to pump the water and get this all going and see the train, and we went through these process, and there's nothing there. It was kind of just, we're like, well, what are we uncovering here?
When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion and find out the details of pulling out what could be the find of a lifetime as far as history in this country is concerned. It is a really, really neat piece. The story that goes behind it is equally as cool. The Lauren Brooker Show continues. Tim Durkin with Scott Trudeau here in Marlbank.